Welcome to WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. My name is Linda Sims, and the program that I will be bringing is called A Voice of a People. And this program is live. And not only that, we stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app on your cell phone, iPhones, laptops, or computers, and download free app called TuneIn and search WWGH. If you have any questions or remarks concerning this program that I will be airing today, please call 740-383-9944. I need to share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Logos have an ongoing announcement. Free produce market every second Saturday of every month. Location once again is 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. And the time is from 12 p.m. until 2 p.m. No appointment or pre-registration required. Individuals simply show up, sign your name and address and number of people in your family. Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. From LaRue, Ohio, telephone number there is 740-262-0939. I have a thought for you today. It may fit you or somebody else that you may know. I take everything personal when it comes to a thought for today for myself. And this one starts like this. People think a soulmate is your perfect fit, but a true soulmate is a mirror. I bet you never thought about that. I didn't either. I had to write it down. A soulmate's purpose is to shake you up, tear apart your ego a little bit, break your heart open so new light can get in. I guess looking at yourself and thinking this is my soulmate would shake you up a little bit when you think about that.
It would, for sure.
It would, wouldn't it? Yeah. My guest today is Heidi Jones. She is the Executive Director of Marion Matters. How are you doing today, Heidi?
I'm doing well, Linda. How are you?
I'm doing great, doing great.
Good.
That weather, oh my gosh, the icky, cold rain.
Yes, I love the big flakes of snow this morning,
yes.
But this afternoon it's not as pretty as it was this morning.
No, it's not. You know, and everyone you, almost everyone you pass in the grocery store on the street, they got that nasal thing going on,
yes.
You know, that's going around town because of this wet, cold weather. But I had it about 3 weeks ago myself, and it was nasty.
It sticks with you for a while, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. So how are you?
I'm doing really well. It's been a busy day. As I said, I came scooting in here at the last minute. We've had a lot going on at our office today on a Monday.
I guess so.
Yeah.
That happens when holidays are getting close.
It really does.
Yes.
It's a good thing. We like to be busy, but we always say busy and productive, not just busy, right?
Right, so. Right. Because Thanksgiving is Thursday, believe it or not.
Right.
It's here already. And I'm thinking next week, oh, wow. I could barely get around in the grocery store today. You know.
Oh, yes. And it just seems like it was just the 4th of July, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Seemed like it just flew after that, you know. Like,
it really did, yeah.
Wow. So here I know people are Christmas shopping already. Have you even started?
I've bought two things so far. And they were just those, you know, happened to see them and go, I know who would like that, and picked them up. But not any major shopping yet. What about you?
No. No. I think I like getting closer to Christmas shopping.
Yeah, that there is, I mean, honestly, as adults, I think there's still a magic about Christmas, I think. And there's something about doing your Christmas shopping when it's snowing and you've got the Christmas music playing, and it's just kind of put you in the mood for it. I think it's magical, really.
Right, the hustle and the bustle and all that. I like that time to shop myself. And I've done that a couple of times, and I was finished, and it was like, what am I going to do now?
Right.
You know, because it's all over, right?
Yes.
All right. So, tell me a little bit about you, because that was my first time meeting you at OSUM. At the, the Neighborhood Voices?
Community Voices,
Community Voices, yeah. Okay.
So, well, I'm born and raised in Marion, Ohio. Okay. Lived here my whole life other than when I went away to college for a little while at the University of Toledo. And I've come home and I've worked here, not in nonprofit my whole life. I worked in the for-profit world for about almost 18 years before I jumped ship to work nonprofit about almost 6 years ago.
Okay.
So, yeah, my background is really in business administration and management. And now, I get to put those skills to use, obviously, in a nonprofit setting, too.
Yes. Well, see, all those things have their proper place and perspective in our society today. And I don't see anything wrong with it. As long as what needs to be done is getting done. And 'cause people have such a need nowadays. And tell me a little bit more about Marion Matters and how you became a part of that.
Absolutely. Well, the initiative, if people have heard of Bridges Out of Poverty, our agency is founded on those principles. And basically, Bridges tells us that whether you grew up in poverty, middle class, or wealth, there's sort of these unspoken rules or norms, right, that go with each culture. Mm-hmm. And in order to move from one economic class to another, you would have to have knowledge of those hidden rules.
Right.
And so what we really have done is taken that Bridges work, that concept of Bridges, and we became our own entity. So Bridges has been around since the mid to late 90s. And in the early 2000s to mid 2000s, the Supreme Court really had, you know, they'd heard about the Bridges Initiative. Mm-hmm. They've heard about sort of what that means to go out and put Bridges into action. And they were starting to hear a buzz about the results. Mm-hmm. And so the Supreme Court had asked some of their judges if they would like to come and get a Bridges training. We were fortunate enough here that we had Judge Teresa Ballinger, who was asked to get some of that Bridges training. Okay. So she went to a training and really understood why she might be seeing the same people across from her on the bench, as opposed to, you know, someone comes before her, they get in trouble, they do their punishment, they come out, and then a lot of times they might go back and do those same activities. And so a lot of it was looking at things through that Bridges lens. So we call it the triple lens, which would be individual, institutional, and community lens. And so when you look at things in that perspective, it helped her understand that punishing people doesn't always motivate them to change. Yeah. And so she came back from that training sort of like with a new hope that we could do something more in this community. So she had gotten a group together and they formed, a group that said, let's investigate some more and see what this Bridges is all about.
Right.
We had a poverty simulation back then, and we had nearly 200 community leaders go through the poverty simulation, mm-hmm. and not many of them. I think it was like less than 10% could survive a day in poverty. And so we decided that same day to have a half day of Bridges just to sort of introduce those concepts about the hidden rules and about building resources and things of that nature. And then a steering committee was formed after that to say, where do we want to take this? Do we think we could make some difference here? And so we had some great folks on that steering committee, and we had about 4 volunteers who said, we're ready to get moving with this. We're excited about it. We see where it would work. And so what we had done at the time was schedule a few more of those Bridges trainings so people would get the word and understand the concepts. And then really, Bridges goes one step further, and there's curriculum called Getting Ahead in a Just Getting By World. And that is really geared for a person who struggles with daily instability, or someone who we might say is in poverty. But those daily instabilities. And so what that does, it allows a person to slow themselves down a bit, because we know life happens fast. And if you're in survival mode all the time, you don't have time to reflect. You're thinking, I have this concrete problem that needs a concrete solution. I have to go from issue to issue to issue. So how do I slow myself down, take a look at where I am with my life, where I'm at when it comes to change? Have I thought about changing and I just don't have the tools? Have I been making a change, but maybe I'm coming across some barriers? And, I get up every day, take 2 steps forward. I may go 3 steps back, but I get up every day willing to take those 2 steps forward. Mm-hmm. And so those 4 volunteers said, we really need to get that Getting Ahead curriculum out to the people who need it. Right. So we started with those folks, and Epworth United Methodist Church has been instrumental. I mean, to this day, we still hold our classes at their facility. And so they were the first ones to sort of get on board. We held those first classes there. They even had some funding that they gave to us to get that first class going. And really, once those folks graduated from the program, it just took off, and those four volunteers just couldn't keep up with the demand, and the word got out on what the program does and how it can really change your life if you go to it with an open mind saying, I want to do better, and I want to change, so then I'll take these tools and I'm going to build a better future for myself. Right. And so from there, Judge Ballinger's magistrate at the time, Michelle Warbick, she applied for, you know, our corporate status. So we became Marion Matters Incorporated in 2011. And then in 2012, we became a 501c3, a nonprofit. Okay. And since then, you know, we've been applying for funding locally to support this initiative and really help those folks who say, you know, I don't know any better, so I'm doing all that I know. But right. We all know if we know different, we'll do different. Yes. And so that's a lot of what that concept is. And in the whole Bridges Initiative really starts by educating the individuals in our community and then taking a look at our institutions. How are they being run? Are they set up to be friendly to all people, or are they set up to be friendly for a select group of people? Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, we can turn someone away by nonverbal communication. And so Bridges is helping us to understand those hidden rules. And so I'll give an example of a hidden rule, and it's easy to break, right, if something's hidden. Okay. So basically, a hidden rule, let's look at money, because everybody can understand money to some degree.
Yes, we can.
So money is looked at differently across all economic classes. Mm-hmm. In poverty, money, the question would be, you know, once I get the money, I better spend it because I don't know when I'm going to get it again. So I take care of all of my needs, some of my wants, and then I'm going to help people who have helped me. Right. In middle class, money is looked at to be conserved. You know, I need to conserve this money and plan and prepare for the future. Mm-hmm. So it's never spend it as soon as I get it. It's, you know, how do we put this away? How do we conserve the money? And then for and wealth, the question would be investing the money. We need to invest it. So long-term future. So when we say long-term, we mean multiple decades. So old money, that generational wealth, decades are covered. And so if we all came to the table thinking that we all understood money the same, we're really at a disservice, right? Yes. Because if I'm working at an agency, and by the way, our work in school settings are sort of based on those middle class norms. Mm-hmm. So whatever's normalized in middle class, that's how we tend to operate our institutions. And so if we're operating out of those norms, and I'm Heidi from poverty, and I come to your organization, and I operate out of the poverty norms, mm-hmm. right? Am I going to struggle at the institution? Might I even struggle in the school setting if I don't know what the rules are?
Of course you would.
And so that's really what it's about, is helping everyone understand. And again, it's never lowering an expectation because of an economic class that someone comes from.
Right.
But could we offer different paths to success? And I think we would all say, yes, we could.
Yes, we could.
And so ultimately, we want to create a community where everybody lives well and thrives. And so we have to have different pathways to get to successful outcomes if we want everyone to live well in our community. Because oftentimes, we all start out down the path, right? There's a crack in the road.
Yes.
In my road, maybe not a crack in your road, right? So I have to
always a crack in my road.
Maybe I have to turn to my right or to my left,
right.
And then you've gotten two spaces ahead of me while I'm trying to get around the crack, right? So what we want to say is, if I had to just walk straight across the path and I come across this crack, might I not be as successful as someone who didn't have the crack?
True.
Very well so. So sometimes we find a new road and we get back to where we're going, but we need to allow for that, I think, and be forgiving sometimes with that. Again, not lowering an expectation, but meeting people where they are and helping equip them and build them in what they have. Because
right, I'm with you on that. Meet people where they are.
Yeah.
Maybe at least that is the foundation that they are on, and then we can you know, mm-hmm. help them to go further if yeah. they want to.
Yeah. And if we know where they are, we can yes. help put a map together. It's kind of like, you know, yes. when we're at the mall and it's the you are here and you're trying to get to Sears That's and right. you've been walking in the wrong direction mm-hmm. the whole time. Mm-hmm. It's that. Find out where I am. You right. are here. You're so right. from here, how do we get to the successful outcome? I don't care necessarily what happened before right. you got to here, but from here, where do we go? Yes. And then we can put plans together for that. And once we understand where we are, mm-hmm. man, it's really easy to set some goals. But if I'm struggling to figure out where I'm at,
right,
I might have some trouble putting goals together.
Yes, you will.
Yeah.
Yes, you will. Absolutely, you will. Because it's easy to get confused and not being able to keep up with today's mm-hmm. society, even though the youth are millennials.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still not on the same level. They don't have the same education. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has a lot to do with it, too, you know, where they are educational. But even though they have the hands-on type of technology and things like that, and they're smart in those areas, mm-hmm. but like you said, where are you now? And if they want to get there, then you can help them
yeah.
pave a way there. And that is, I love that. That is
well,
great.
Thank you. And the curriculum is great, the getting ahead. And I love that title, Getting Ahead in a Just Getting By World. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more true than that, right?
I know.
And so when we can help a person kind of understand where they are, mm-hmm. also too, look at the different causes of poverty. Everyone assumes that it's just the individual's choices and behavior that right. have gotten them there. Right. But you know, our communities play a part in that. Our lack of human and social capital within our communities, the political economic structures of our time, are, right. you know,
or
plan
people,
to that as well.
They're not going to be any good. Yeah. They're never going to go anywhere, but that's not necessarily true.
Yeah. And so, you know, we have to take a look at all the research on poverty and not just it's the person's fault.
Right.
Do we each play a part in our futures and in our lives? Absolutely. But there are circumstances that sometimes back us against the wall. And
right.
if I'm in survival mode, I'm going to do what it takes to get my family's need met, no matter what cost, if I'm backed against the wall. And so, you know, we help them understand what those causes are. We take a look at resources. That's the biggest thing, because we don't define poverty as a money thing at our agency. Poverty is defined as the extent to which an individual does without resources. It really broadens that and gives you something to work on, which is build resources. So if we we believe there are 11 resources that tie a person to their situation. Financial is just one of them. But having that mental cognitive skill, being able to have a strong emotional resource so that you respond to things in a healthy, safe way and not just based on how I feel in the moment. Having physical mobility, having that spiritual resource, also motivation and persistence. Language is huge.
Yes.
Understanding those hidden rules, integrity and trust. I mean, they're all of these things play into where we go.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us, if we were privy to have been born in a middle class setting, most middle class families are sufficiently resourced, we'll say. So they're stabilized, right? So when you're stable, you can learn and grow and take new things on. But when your resources are out of whack, mm-hmm. I always say resources are like our foundation, right? So if I'm on a wobbly foundation, I'm going to continue to sort of have that balance, two steps forward, three steps back. So what we'd like to say is when they go through getting ahead and they take a look at those resources and they do that self-assessment, they're going to find that they have some strengths, which is great news.
Mm-hmm.
We all do. But it tends to be those weaker resources that sort of bog them down
yes.
or tie them to their situation. So what they do is, and again, it's them doing that assessment. It's not me saying, if you do X, Y, and Z, I can help you.
Right,
it's them saying, these are the resources that I have. These are my strengths. These are my weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Then, gosh, we can put a plan together. We can take the strengths that you have, really elevate those weaknesses. And once you do that, now you've got a solid foundation.
Right.
Once we can set that foundation, have those resources solid, they can take on new information, learn and grow, build those things, get to where they want to go. But we have to start by looking at those resources and then assessing barriers as well. What
right.
are the barriers that I'm currently facing? And then we all put goals together.
True.
How do
what
we get there?
What barriers do I need to build up
yeah.
for myself too?
Absolutely.
You
and
know.
So those are the things that we do. So it's a lot of work. It's not one of those things. And I think one of the things that we could all agree on, you know, we all come to the table with our own experience. That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we live within our own judgmental words or stereotypical ways. And I think what Bridges does, it helps us to open our mind to another way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just saying, this is how I was born and this is just how we did everything,
right.
other people weren't born there, you know, they weren't born in that exact spot. So if we have a better understanding how each other thinks and operates, boy, we can put some great solutions together that have us working together to say, I never knew that that happened that way. But now that I know, how can we make things better for other people in this community? And so that's the thing that I really love about the Bridges Initiative, about our Getting Ahead curriculum. It's work. You know, it's those folks who are willing to put in the work to change their lives. People get referred to us. So it's people who see something in them. They see them getting up every day and taking a stab trying, at it, no matter trying, what. Right. And so they get referred to us, and then they're able to go, you know, through our programs. And
so what institutions refer people to you?
So we have about 16 other agencies, but we, you know, we get referrals from Children's Services, okay. Job and Family Services, Love Inc., okay. lots of the churches, the school system, Voice of Hope Pregnancy Center, okay. Different places like that. Okay. So, and someone can be word of mouth. So maybe they saw me present somewhere and they thought, gosh, I would really like to go through that Getting Ahead experience. They can call our office and they can refer themselves. Okay. Lots of folks who have gone through our experiences will refer friends or family members because they say, gosh, I'm taking what I've learned, I'm applying it to my life, mm-hmm. and I'm seeing positive change. And then their family members are going, hey, you know, how is that happening? And then they will refer people as well.
That's great.
So, that's great. Yes, and we're always looking for more entities who say, yes, we want to learn more about Marian Matters because we want to be able to refer people. You know, one of the things, I was talking about our programs earlier, and what's funny is we had stopped calling them programs or classes right. and calling them experiences because people say to me, Getting Ahead is more than a class. It is an experience that will change your life if wow. you are open to receiving what it offers. And so we thought, wow, that's a powerful statement.
Yeah, yes.
So come join the Getting Ahead experience, right?
Yes,
you almost
yes.
want to be excited about that. If yes. you say, well, come to the Getting Ahead class, you're like, oh, it's a Tuesday night. I don't really want to go to class. But you certainly want to come to an experience, right?
Yes, of course. You know, and people will think about that differently.
Yeah.
Than say, I'm going to class.
Yes.
And I'm going to take these classes, these seminars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
It even so, makes me want to go.
So it's the Getting Ahead experience. And,
yes.
you know, we love the people that we serve in this community because I'll tell you, our citizens here are so resilient. Things happen to people and they get up and they say, you know what, I'm still going to stand strong. Mm-hmm. And Getting Ahead oftentimes helps them find their voice because they'd never looked at themselves in a way to lead. They've never looked at themselves to say, I can accomplish a goal. Mm-hmm. And so part of Getting Ahead is really exposing them to other people in the community who aren't in their surviving circle, as
right.
we call it. It's people who are outside of their normal circle of folks. We call it building social capital, right? I'm meeting people who may be a connection that, you know, we can talk about solutions for this community mm-hmm. because ultimately, you know, if we strengthen the citizens of our community,
right.
they're strengthened, they go to work in our companies here in this community, those companies strengthen, right?
Right.
And when our companies are strengthened and we have these vibrant places of employment here, mm-hmm. pushing out products to other places, our community is strengthened from that.
True.
Because we've got that workforce, they're coming in every day, they're sticking it out, you know, they're getting promoted if that's what they want to
right.
do. And it has that ripple effect. We all benefit when everyone in our community is strong.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And that's what it takes.
It really does.
To be a success, even for the community mm-hmm. itself, that we can move forward and have more resources coming into our to Marion, Ohio.
Yes.
You know, instead of us pushing everything out and taking all of our money and abilities to other cities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they say, well, why don't people shop in Marion? I said, I don't know. I think when things were bad, people got used to going to Columbus and enjoying themselves. And you still hear, well, Marion doesn't have anything going on, you
mm-hmm.
know. But I think we do have some things going on in Marion. Although a lot of people
Yeah.
Don't get up and go, let's go to Columbus for the weekend or
yes.
Cincinnati or somewhere, you know. But
most definitely.
We're still above water.
We are. And I think there are a lot of amazing people doing amazing things in this community. Yes. And, you know, we're wanting to bring life back here, you know, where we feel like it was once vibrant and we've lost that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's definitely been a shift in the last 6 years
yes.
on moving us in a positive direction. And, you know, the old adage, Rome wasn't built in a day.
No.
Well, we can't turn the city around in a day, but it's up to us as the citizens of Marion to take our community back.
Yes.
And it's up to us to do our part. And if we each do our part, man, what a lighter load it is for each of us, but what a great outcome it is for our community when we each do our part. And so that's what we're trying to do at Marion Matters, is do our part. So we're honing in on what we do well, which is the educational component, teaching those folks to find their voice, teaching them how to advocate for themselves, teaching them to be at decision-making tables in our community, because that's what it takes. When we have all Freds, that's a term that we say, and it's not a bunch of middle-aged guys named Fred, but when we have all Freds, meaning the Fred from poverty, the Fred from middle class and the Fred from wealth, okay. when all Freds are at decision-making tables in our community, solutions are going to be made that positively impact everyone and not just a select few of those mm-hmm. Freds. And so by folks going through the Getting Ahead experience, they're stabilizing themselves, and then they're going out and they're advocating for change in the community. And that's exactly right. what we want to have happen, you know. And so Getting Ahead is really what we would call our core experience. And once folks go through Getting Ahead, they move into something called Transitions. And Transitions allows them to explore college and career options. Mm-hmm. Also, take a look at leadership a little bit, you know.
Wow.
Most of our folks wouldn't necessarily call themselves leaders when they first go through
right.
the experience. But once they learn what being a leader means, by the end, they're all saying, we are a leader in some way, mm-hmm. whether it's at my job or whether it's leading my household.
Right.
How am I leading? And so we work with people in our community to really go through this transitions piece. So we have an education night where we work with Aspire, which is used to be ABLE.
Mm-hmm.
So Aspire, we also partner with Marion Technical College and OSUM,
okay.
and they help break college down into doable pieces, because people who are in that survival mode are what we call tyranny of the moment. Tyranny of the moment says my need to act overwhelms any willingness I have to learn. I have these concrete issues that I have to fix. So they see college as valuable, but they see, how do I get from this concrete day-to-day over to this valuable piece of education?
Right.
So by partnering with Marion Tech and OSUM, we sort of break that down, and a lot of people decide that they do want to further their education. Last year, 22% of our participants enrolled in higher education because of those partnerships, which is
right.
fantastic. And, you know, we also do some the leadership segments. We also work with Tom Tony at Family Life Church. He comes in and does that leadership piece with our folks.
Okay.
We work with Goodwill to do master applications and resumes.
Okay.
We partner with Vernhardt Insurance and the Center Street Community Health Center. They come in and talk about insurance and the importance of being proactive
okay.
with that sort of piece as a way to stabilize yourself as well. So they're learning some different things in transitions. It also gives them time to really digest what they learned in Getting
mm-hmm.
Ahead and
mm-hmm.
say, now that I know some different things, how do I want to pan this out, basically?
Right,
how
right.
do I want to move towards that? So transitions lets them sort of take some time to marinate that information and then look at those other pieces. And then once they finish with transitions, they move into Money and Me, which is our financial literacy class.
Okay.
And so individuals really, they take a look at what are the categories of expenses in my household? You know, what do those look like? And then how do I plan for each of those categories? So we're doing basic budgeting. We're also giving everyone, they get copies of their credit report so they can either repair their credit or begin credit if that's what they need.
Okay.
And then we're doing the cash envelope system that helps them sort of, you know, separate their money out, especially if they don't have bank accounts and then
okay.
they're carrying around all this money in a purse or a wallet. If it was in different envelopes at home
right,
and you only
right.
took with you the one that you needed so you don't overspend.
Right.
So all those budgeting, and then ways to look
being
at
accountable for what has
yeah.
what's important, what has
yeah.
to be paid, like your
yeah.
your living expenses.
Definitely.
And things like that.
Yes. And so the financial literacy piece has been very successful for our individuals as well. We actually had someone in our last getting ahead experience that said, you know, I'd really like to buy a house, but I don't know if, you know, my credit I think is really bad and I don't think I'd be able to do it. Well, during the financial literacy class, she got a copy of that credit report and she did need to do some things to improve her credit, but she was able to do that. She was able to budget. She was able to pay off some things, clean her credit up. And then she applied for a loan and she bought a home. She moved in August. She was able to take that information and put it to use right away, make some changes, and then be able to purchase a home. So we know that the things we're doing have an impact, a positive impact, and we know that if we meet people where they are and they have a say in their future plan, they're more likely to stick with it. But, you know, we've all gone places where they said, if you just do A, B, and C, we can help you out. But if A, B, and C aren't of interest to me, how likely am I to really stick with A, B, and C? So this is all about you deciding what needs to be worked on and us offering that support component as you walk that out, as you work out those goals.
That's powerful.
And it is, because I think that people want to feel heard.
Yes, they do.
And when they feel like people are talking at them all the time, they don't receive it. So if we can meet you where we are, where you are, listen to what you have to say and say, well, heck, if that's what you want to do, let's walk this out and let's walk it out together.
Yes.
And sometimes people are surprised that we would say, well, if that, you know, if you want to be a supermodel, let's walk it out. What does that look like? What's it going to take to get there?
Yes.
And, you know, we say that and that's kind of funny, but honestly, no goal is off the table. If someone wants to work on something and it helps get them to a successful outcome, we'll walk it out with them.
Right.
Most definitely.
I know you mentioned individuals, institutions, and what was the third thing?
Community.
Community. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to institutions, how do you go about helping those people? Now, you're talking about like this bridge gap in our city, Marion, Ohio, all the prisons over there and jail. How do you go about helping those people?
So let me break this down in two ways. So when we look at institution, we're thinking of the institutions that sort of survive or are among us in our community. So that institution could be here. You know, it's how do yes. Now we do have a component that speaks to the institutions, meaning, you know, those where folks are incarcerated. So I want to kind of talk about both of those so you can see the difference in that. So one of the things when we talk about institutions is, you know, we look at maybe some of our government agencies or we look at some of our private agencies that really serve the community. So one of the things that we want to take a look at is what message are you putting off to those that you serve? Because if you want someone to be compliant, so let's take a dietitian, for example.
Right.
And in my institution, I want to help people who have diabetes become healthy and get off, you know, get off their medication and become healthy. So if I say to them constantly, gosh, you need to lose weight, you should probably eat more broccoli, you should do all this, that person probably already knows those things. But if I come at them like that, I'm offensive, right, to that person. So what we want to find out is, what is your driving forces, right? What is it that makes you get up every day and make the decisions that you make? And oftentimes, maybe it's, you know, a grandparent who's diabetic and they happen to also be the sole caregiver to their grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
So the grandkids are pretty important, right? They're the only caregiver. So if I'm speaking with a grandparent, like as a dietitian, these are the types of things we would help you to help your person get a successful outcome. So if we get to know them, so it's all about building relationships, getting to know the people that we serve. So if I understand that, Linda, your grandkids are important to you, I might handle the conversation different. I might not say you're overweight, you need to eat more broccoli, you need to exercise, you need to lose weight. I might say, Miss Linda, how does it feel when you're with your grandkids? Oh, it's wonderful. I love when they're there. We do all these things. What's it like when you're not able to be there with them? Oh, it's kind of quiet and sad.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're here with me, you know, at my office, or maybe you're in the hospital because your blood sugar's out of control,
right?
Then I might say things to you like, you know, if you were to continue to take your medication as you should, eat the things that you should, you're more likely to be able to be home with your grandkids, and that's what you said you'd like to do. Is that right? You may say yes. I could say, or you could choose not to take your medication or not to eat as healthy, and then you might be back here with me, which is what you don't like. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And you might say yes. So, but I would say to you, the choice is up to you.
Right.
You can choose either one of those things, but by using it in that way, I'm finding out what is important to you, and I'm trying to help you get to what's important.
Right. And you're giving me the power to
make that. And it is your choice, because it is ultimately all of our choices.
Yes,
but if I have a positive choice or a negative choice, I may choose that positive choice. But if I've never been given a positive choice, and I continue to get myself in a negative situation, it's because no one has taken the time to help get me there. So we do trainings with staff members of different entities here in the community.
Okay.
So how can we better equip the institutions that serve our community to better serve them? Another thing too, people in poverty, we had talked about language being a barrier. Our middle class settings, our work and school settings, they typically require us to speak more in a formal register with complete sentences, full sentence syntax, things like that. But if I'm someone in poverty, I may use casual register, which is about 400 to 800 characters that I typically use with my friends. And also, too, I'm in survival mode, so I need to tell you what I need quickly to get what I need. I'm not used to using my language to negotiate. I also really depend on nonverbals as well. So if I walk into an institution or an agency and someone is rolling their eyes, what do I automatically think when I walk in the door? They're rolling their eyes at me.
Right, of course.
You know, or if someone's standing with their arms crossed in front of them,
right,
that says I'm not approachable.
Right.
So it's these little things. So if we just can educate our agencies and institutions here on what that looks like, and not not everyone is from, you know, that formalized setting, it's more casual with nonverbal assists, then we can serve people better, because we know that once the door opens, we quit conversation with our desk mate. We're looking with a smile. We're more approachable.
Right.
When we can just alleviate that barrier right off the cuff, we're more likely to have a successful exchange with
That's
the person as we
true.
Would if we looked unapproachable or like we're already annoyed or something like that. So we do a lot of education that way. We also, we have curriculum called Getting Ahead While Getting Out. And a cool story about that book, that is a book that's used in our institutions. So at Marion Correctional Institution, places like that. And the cool story about that is one of our Getting Ahead graduates actually co-wrote that book.
Really?
So she had gone through Getting Ahead. She had had some barriers. She had gotten in trouble at an early age. Some things had happened in her life. She had been incarcerated.
Right.
And so she basically learned about getting ahead. And she was paired with, you know, when I was talking about building that social capital, she had a great ally who became really great social capital to her.
Great.
Talked to her about maybe going back to college. She ended up getting a job as a secretary here in town. She went back to college. She now has her bachelor's degree. And she's out really doing what she loves, which is a lot of the reentry work. So she's doing reentry work. But more importantly, once she went through getting ahead, she said, had I had knowledge of this when I was incarcerated, I may have gotten out and made better decisions.
Of course.
You know, because I had more information to do so.
That's right.
And so she got in touch with the author of Getting Ahead and Just Getting By World and said, there are hidden rules in the institution as well.
Yes.
And there are some other things we need to talk about, like a 72-hour action plan when we're first released. What do we do in the first 72 hours to secure ourselves so that we don't end up back in the same places?
Right.
And so they co-authored the book, Getting Ahead While Getting Out, along with a local retired attorney here.
Mm-hmm.
So the three of them, and he actually was a really good ally to this person as well. But a great success story of what the Getting Ahead experience does for people, because what she had learned there, she said, if I knew this while incarcerated, and then, you know, co-authored the book, and she gets to travel across the United States teaching other communities how to really get that rolling within institutions in their community.
Oh,
so how do we facilitate?
Absolutely.
So what we do is impactful. It really helps people feel, you know, and some of the things that we do aren't measurable in a tangible way. It's that you know, socioeconomic side of it. You know, it's I'm hopeful now. I have more confidence.
Yes,
I'm able to walk in the room and confidently say what it is and feel competent in doing so. And I mean, of course, we do measure things that give us statistics and outcomes, because we want to know that what we're doing does make a difference. And so, but a lot of what we do is really build those components within ourselves, you know, that make us want to get out there and do better and help us build.
It's the inner, you know, the battlefield of the mind is Joyce Meyer's book. But it has made her somewhat close to being a billionaire because we all battle with thoughts in our mind. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So if you think defeat and I can't get ahead and you know, yes, I made a mistake in my life. And people are going to always look at me and judge me by that. But what matters is, are you going to judge yourself by those same standards? And that so inspires me about the young lady who was incarcerated. Yeah. Because there's thousands of people who are incarcerated, and they're going to get out one day.
Yeah.
You know, and it's important. It should matter to all of us about when they return to their community.
Yeah.
What are we going to do about it?
Absolutely. And when, you know, that's the thing. And we've talked about these things all the time. You know, people who make mistakes, they become incarcerated. They do their time there, but we keep making them pay time after time. And if we keep slamming doors in their faces and not hear their voice and see that they've changed and they want to do better, then we're part of the problem.
Yes.
Because we have to have options for them once they are back in our community. And so strengthening themselves is a big part of it, I think.
Yes, it is.
Because oftentimes we get into our situations because, you know, when I talked about when I'm backed in a corner, right?
Yes.
So let's give an example of that. If I was born in poverty and I've tried to get a job, right, that pays a decent wage, but maybe I don't have a certain skill set. So, you know, maybe I'm going to the job and maybe I do get a couple of promotions and something, but you know, maybe I'm lacking in resources. So my car breaks down and I'm missing a lot of work. I lose the job.
Right.
My bills still have to be paid.
Right.
So what I'm going to do whatever it takes, right? So whether it's I needed to feed my kids, so I shoplifted some hamburger to feed my kids. Ultimately, I'm going to get in trouble for that if I keep doing it over and over again. But again, you know, we get incarcerated for that. We get back out. We need to say, okay, we see that you're incarcerated, but what are some of the, there are companies here that do hire people who, you know, have felonies on their record, but we need more support components in our community.
Do.
And so we would consider ourselves one of those support pieces. We can help build those skill sets that then help you go out there. And then we do work with businesses and a staffing agency that works with second chance companies.
That's
and so we try to connect as best we can when it comes to workforce.
I mean, that really, not just myself, but other people who find that their youth, their grandchildren and great-grandchildren have made the mistake and maybe been incarcerated, and then they come out and there's nothing for them, you know, and they end up getting back in trouble and back in there. Like you said, the first 72 hours is so important. It's vital to their stability of staying out.
Yes. It really
and that's a short span of time, 72 hours, or what, 3 days?
Yeah. But if we don't have a plan, like, you know, most importantly, where am I going to be living? If I don't have that figured out and I'm roaming the streets already on my first day out, I could find myself getting into trouble quickly, right? If I don't have that place to come to. And then the other thing is, have I done enough self-reflection to say some of the people I hung out with before I became incarcerated might not be the same folks I should hang out with when I get out.
True,
but oftentimes maybe there's a big party when I get out and it happens to be with those same people that I may find myself just getting right back into an old habit. So it's, you know, how would I, you know, prepare myself to A, have a place to live, B, maybe not go right into a situation where I'm hanging out with people that I hung out with before.
Right.
And, you know, what would be my plan to, you know, if those folks want to say, hey, we heard you got out, let's have this party, what would I say for that?
Plans,
so how do I want to prepare myself? Because we only know ourselves, right?
That's true.
We know ourselves the best. So what is it that I need in my support component? Is it that I get to call a friend that I really trust and who is got my back basically to do well and say, if this person calls, you've got to be my person to help me stay strong and not go around that person, or that's where I'm going to live right now. So I've, you know, I have those things, but you know, but I think a lot of times too, it's sort of educating our family and friends on what they should be doing to help us, because help and enable, there's this very fine line. And I think sometimes because we love people so much, we end up enabling not on purpose, you know,
I feel you on that one.
Yeah. And because the relationship is important to us, you know, so that happens too, I think.
I don't think I've helped, but I've been around someone whose relative did help them to be dependent on them and not really make a change in their life because they were right there. If they needed money, all they had to do was go to that person and ask, and therefore they weren't taking care of their responsibility that they should have been taking care of. And this other person is buying groceries for the home, and you know what I'm saying? But that person should is responsible for their families, even for themselves, especially when you get money yourself to take care of yourself. You know, whether you're on sick leave, whether you're working and have a check.
Yes.
Why are you going to go out and spend your check that's supposed to be in your household? You know, and then you got to go to somebody else in the family and say, well, I don't have money for groceries, and my wife and children need food.
Yeah. And I think some of it would go back to that hidden rule on money. So how do we manage the money? How can we take a look at money differently and, you know, make sure that we're in it? But again, it's because they have to want it too. Everything that we offer is voluntary. So no one can be forced to come do something that they don't want to do. So they have to have some willingness or some bit of motivation and persistence that says, you know, I want to do more. And if you've got some skills that could help me do that, I'd love to learn more about it. And, you know, a lot of what we do is really, you know, our mission is to provide those leaderships and developing and sustaining pathways out of poverty through education and support. So all the experiences that we offer,
we'll have to do another show.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP. Marion, Ohio.
I'm Charlie Evers, and I'll be on 10 till 12 today, and welcome your phone calls. Today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to ask questions.
Porky, Marvin there, he doesn't seem to like you very much.
It's all an act.
It's not an act.
It's a big old act.
I'm going to blow up your act.
Don't blow up my act. I really don't have an act. I just see it's hot probably.
Well, Porky, you know I can't sign off this program with you here. Before we close out, where did your famous saying come from, and then give it to us?
Oh, it's how they asked me to end the cartoon. That's it. It was that simple. And I just walked up to the mic and I said, that's all, folks.
Bob, you are a pleasure. You are a... But so much was made, and I don't know why, during the first Jim Tressel press conference when all that hubbub was going on, you made the comment that somebody asked you if you were going to fire him, and you said he hoped he doesn't fire you. Do you wish you hadn't said that? It got so much play.
You know what I think, actually? I have a very quick wit. Sometimes it's smarter than my tongue. But you know what I wish is? I wish people had a lighter touch. Do I regret I said it? Probably so. But on the other hand, I think that we need to get back to the fundamental premise of the American psyche.
I want you, who are listening today, to invest your time and energy in this radio station. I think it's an interesting experiment. We're having a lot of fun doing it. But by your support, you can possibly arrange for them to get a better heater in the studio, because we talked about this last night.
Here we go.
That space heater just isn't doing the job. I have my parka on that I wore in the car to come to work this morning.
3 minutes in, and we're already on the heater again.
I'm sorry. It's killing me here.
No, let me tell the story about the heat.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's get into this right away off the bat. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number 740-751-1783. The WWGH Radio prize policy is as follows. You have 10 days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio staff reserves the right to question any and all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the lower level of the Belltone Building. Thank you so much for playing fair.
This is Patty Wooster with Marion Midget Football, a staple of the Marion community for over 45 years, providing sportsmanship, friendship, and exciting competition. To our Marion youth, 740-382-4558.
This is your favorite bully, Big Bully Busick. And every Friday from 12:10 to 1 p.m., make sure you listen to The Exchange Club with Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, Marianne Michaels, Sean Kraft, and Marge Hazlett right here on